In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration in which Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
So I just wanted us to reflect a little bit on this story. Think about the significance of some of those things. In fact, both in the poem that I wrote and the song that we sing next, one of those, I tried to key into the significance of the shepherds, who they were, what they were doing there. Every year during Christmas season, I used to not notice this. I just ignored it when I would see it on television. But then when I became the chaplain out at the state hospital, I found that so often, most people's understanding of things in the Bible come from television rather than the Bible. And so every year during Christmas, I would have patients telling me, "You know, Jesus wasn't born in December. He was born in the spring." And I've often wondered, now I know where that comes from, but I can't imagine why they know where that comes from. And then, of course, I started paying attention and watching television shows. And it seems like in every show where we have a person that is a super intellectual, somebody like Sheldon Cooper in The Big Bang, or Temperance Brennan in Bones, who has also rejected Christianity, in every one of those shows, at some point they put down their friends as they're celebrating Christmas, that, you know, Jesus wasn't even born in December. He was born in the spring. And when I hear that, I chuckle, because I realize I don't think the writers of those shows know where that comes from, and they certainly are making a mistake by putting those words on the lips of their intellectual elites that are putting down Christians for believing in Christmas, because they clearly don't understand something. They don't understand where it came from, why it's probably not true, but even if it was true, you wouldn't want, if you're an atheist, you wouldn't want to be stating it. I want you to think about something. First, you have to know where it came from. A few hundred years ago, a German New Testament scholar in the First Quest of the Historical Jesus, he was looking into when he thought Jesus might have been born. They approached the Bible from a very skeptical viewpoint. They basically approached it with, we don't believe anything in it unless we can prove it somehow that it's true. And in this process, he, of course, questioned why we celebrate Christmas when we do. Well, in this particular case, and let me state this up front, it doesn't matter because the Bible doesn't tell us when Jesus was born. And here's the real kicker. Guys, we don't celebrate Jesus' birthday. We celebrate Jesus' birth. There is a difference, and I'll come back to that. But that doesn't keep me from laughing at Sheldon Cooper and Temperance Brannan. Because they don't even realize that when they say he was born in the spring, that the reason why people thought he was born in the spring was because the shepherds did not have the sheep in the fields during the months of December and January. That they would only take the sheep in the fields outside of Bethlehem. Because you see, outside of Bethlehem is in the hill country. And of course, in the middle of the winter in the hill country, that's very cold. They would bring the sheep in and keep them in stables where they could, especially it's also lambing season. So talk to Chris. You want them close. You want them in a place where you can keep them warm. So they rarely would have their sheep out in the fields at that time. But in the spring, they would have the sheep out in the fields outside of Bethlehem and between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And so this is the premise of, well, Jesus must have been born in the spring. So when I hear that comment, I stop and think to the person who doesn't believe in the Bible or in Christ, let me see if I got this right. You think Jesus was born in the spring because the shepherds were out in the fields outside of Bethlehem in the spring. That would suggest to me that you're conceding several things. First of all, that Jesus was born. I'm glad to hear that you, this intellectual elite who doesn't believe in Christianity, at least admit to your friends that Jesus was born. Most historians think he was born too. But on top of that, you also are acknowledging that he was born in Bethlehem. Because the only reason why those shepherds aren't in the fields is because it's in the hill country around Bethlehem. Down in any other city in Palestine, they would have had them out grazing in the fields. But the fact that you think he was born in the spring because the shepherds, that's when they take the sheep out, tells me you believe he was also born in Bethlehem. Well, that's pretty significant in the biblical story because Jesus being born in Bethlehem is what connects him to the house of David and the promises of the coming Messiah being born in the town of Bethlehem. But better than that, these so smart people, they actually believe that shepherds came to Jesus' birth. And I have one question for them, one that we asked in the song. Why? The innkeeper asked it. Why would shepherds come looking for a baby? And why would they search for a baby in a manger? Let's be honest. Even if for some reason you had some shepherds out in the fields who were baby lovers, and they had heard, hey, there was a baby born in Bethlehem, you would not go to a stable looking for that child. Why in the world? You got to ask, why would shepherds leave their sheep to look for a baby? They're not really the kind of guys that are all that interested in babies being born. And why then would they look for that baby in a stable? Well, you see, the Bible tells us why. But this is where they're in a dilemma. Guys, that doesn't happen without a miracle. And you don't believe in the Bible. You don't believe in Jesus' birth. You are using that line to ridicule people. And yet you just acknowledged to me that you believe that shepherds were present at his birth in Bethlehem, which means somebody told the shepherds that he was born and somebody told them where he was born. And the Bible tells us that somebody was a group of angels who appeared to them at night. Who do you think it was? Who do you think was running around the hillsides around Bethlehem telling people that there's a baby born and he's sleeping in a manger? That doesn't even make sense. But the announcement to the shepherds does. And so just recognizing there were shepherds present. By the way, one of the reasons why historians, they balk with this because they see the miracle involved, but they also have a hard time explaining why anyone would make it up. If you were making up the birth of Israel's king, seriously, you would choose the first people to come and acknowledge that to be the lowest citizens in Israel, shepherds. Shepherds in Jesus' day in the first century, they were looked so down upon. The regular people would have nothing to do with them. They were treated like lepers because they were seen as unclean. And yet, these are the very people God announces it to and says, I want you to come. I want you to come and see my son. He's born in a manger. I want you to come and worship him. And then I want you to go and tell people what you've seen. I want you to let them know about the angels that directed you. I want you to go everywhere and tell them that my son was born. Who does he ask to do that? The very people in that culture that everybody else in that culture could not stand and would not invite over for dinner, would not shake their hand. You think about that. If Jesus came today, who would he announce it to? And who would he invite to that manger? Well, if he follows course, it's going to be somebody in our society that we want nothing to do with. And if you're making up a story about the birth of Messiah, you don't have shepherds a part of that story. You know what else you don't have? You don't have your precious baby king who's going to rule the world being born in a manger. You see, people don't make up stories and make up those kinds of details. That's why historians, they scratch their head here. Because they're like, nobody makes up a story like that. You want to make up a story, and if you look at all the kings, and there's so many myths about kings and how they were born, they're all born in glorious ways. Not one single story of a king being born in some kind of humble stable amongst the cows and sheep being announced to shepherds. This is not a story you make up. This is a story that God ordains. It is the way God wanted to come. Human beings don't come up with this kind of story, but God did. And so consequently, what we see here is these shepherds, they came because God directed them, and they worshiped him. But let me say something about why we celebrate in December. One of the mistakes that German scholar made hundreds of years ago is this. He's right that usually you would not have shepherds outside of Bethlehem at that time of year. Except for this, Jerusalem and Bethlehem are 5 miles apart, just 5 miles. So outside of Bethlehem towards Jerusalem, let's say, there is always shepherds and always a flock of sheep. They belong to the temple. You see, every single day people came to the temple to offer up lambs for sacrifice. And if you know your New Testament history, you know that back in the first century, they had quite a conniving marketplace going on. You would bring your lamb, they would look at your lamb, they would say, oh, this lamb is marred, it has an imperfection here, it will not do for a sacrifice. I'm sorry, you cannot use it. But good news, we will buy your lamb for you at a discounted price, and we will sell you a lamb at an inflated price. And that's what they did. And then, you know what they did with that lamb? They took him right outside of Jerusalem into that flock between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, and they stuck him out there because what were they going to do with that lamb? They were going to sell that lamb the next day to the next person that came. It's called capitalism. It's very clever. And a captive audience. But what we lost sight of is, guys, there's always shepherds outside of Jerusalem. There's always a flock of lambs and sheep out there for use in the temple. And I think that may be significant. Two reasons why it's significant. These shepherds were looking over the flock of sheep that would eventually become the sacrifice for people's sins. But God said, no, I want to show you the real sacrifice for people's sins. Not only that, because of that scam that was going on in the first century, most of the sheep in that flock had already been declared not fit for sacrifice. They were not pure enough. They were not unblemished. That had already been declared about them. God has come and said, but I'm sending a lamb. He's perfect. He's unblemished. And he can do what none of these lambs can do when he dies for our sins. We celebrate Christmas because we celebrate the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And this is when he came into that world. One last thing. I had Mary read that passage about John's birth. I'm not going to tell you because it's so technical how you get there. But that division of Abijah serves two times a year, and it changes every year. But if Jesus was born in the year that most people think he was born in, 4 BC, if he was born in that year, then guess what? The division of Abijah served in the temple October 2nd through 7th. Well, you start doing the math, guys. 9 months for John the Baptist, 6 months for Jesus, and where do you end up? The last week of December and the first week of January. Maybe this is when Jesus was born. It really doesn't matter because we're not celebrating his birthday. We are celebrating the incarnation of a God who came down and took on flesh for our sake. Now, I will say this because I'm about to go home and see my mom, and we did this last year to celebrate her 90th birthday. I realized that as you get older, birthdays mean something different. Do you know why we celebrate my mom's birthday? And I can say at this point, this is why we celebrate my birthday. Do you know what we're celebrating when we celebrate a birthday? I'm celebrating that she's still alive. She is 90. And when we celebrate her birthday, it is a celebration that she's still alive. And that's why we do celebrate Jesus' birthday. It is a celebration, guys, because he's still alive. He is 2,000, and if you add the four, 27 years old. 2,000, actually, you have to remove zero. 2,026 years old. He is still alive. That's why we continue to celebrate his birthday. Do you know, when somebody dies, typically, you don't keep celebrating their birthday. But every year we celebrate Jesus because he's not dead. He's alive. He has been raised from the dead, and he is sharing his life with us, which is what brings us here this evening to praise and worship him.